we have moved along. We haven't heard them all in the antitheses in Matthew's gospel, and we come to this one, and it's introduced by this text, this exhortation of Moses. This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and decrees. Be careful them, to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today, you are making an agreement with the Lord, right here, this covenant, the blood of the covenant. Today, we make this agreement. That he is to be your God, and you are to walk in his ways, and observe his statutes, commandments, and decrees, and to listen to his voice. And the Lord is making this agreement with you. You are to be a people particularly, specially his own, as he promised you. And provided you keep all his commandments, he will raise you high in praise and renown and glory above all the other nations he has made. And you will be a people sacred to the Lord, as he promised. Now, those words, you see, that promise is transferred to the church. It hasn't left the Jewish people, but it's been transferred and fulfilled in the church. Well then, what is God telling us? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's the sign of a Christian. This isn't optional. This is it. Isn't that amazing? This is the sign of a Christian. They obey God, and God has told them, love your enemies. Now, the antithesis, you know, you've heard it said, but I say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Of course, in the context means your neighbor is your kinsman, your fellow Jew. And your enemy is just about everybody else. And that's just about the way things are. Especially, in the Middle East, but all over. See, we live in a big, happy, sloppy place, you know, here in the U.S., but it's getting like that. Your enemy, now, theologically, is not just the guy down the street who isn't of the same race or the same nation or the same religion as you are. Your enemy is somebody who wills evil to you. I'm supposed to love that guy. Absolutely. By the word of the Son of God himself. Well, how am I going to do that? You're going to have to pray. And the Lord will give you the power. Because you see, we have to be perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean flawless, as the text is used here. It means totally observant. Tam would be the Hebrew word. Tam just means integral, perfect. So we observe all the commandments of our God. Just as the Father is totally faithful to all his commitments to us. And so we have to be faithful to these commandments. And this is a commandment. I say to you, love your enemies. Isn't that funny how that would be news 2 millennia later? We've heard it. How many times? We've heard it every Lent we've been alive. Now, so things are going to get difficult. They've already, you know, taken away the school vouchers, if that goes through. You know, appointing these people to the cabinet who, as lawyers, defended pornography, including child pornography. They could make this place pretty difficult to live in, pretty difficult to bring up children. How are we going to love them? What would that mean? Then we look to see, you see, the great examples of this. They never once compromised the truth, but they never hated either. And that's going to be a challenge, isn't it? This is a free country. We are perfectly within our rights to protest these things, to point out that they're ruining the moral fiber of the country, make us an easy prey for anybody who wants to. You know, you raise up a generation of young men on what's going on or what's proposed, and you'll have 3% with the backbone to be an army. It's that simple. You know, this will corrupt the whole fiber of the nation, what's left of it. Now, what does it mean then to love those? It means to pray for them. It means to have no hatred in your heart for them. It means to learn from the Holy Spirit how to relate to them, what that means. Now, I think we have a great example in Pope John Paul II, who lived most of his life under some sort of oppression, right? First the Nazis, then the Marxists. And he conducted himself with dignity and with truth and with forcefulness. And I think he's our patron. How do we do this? We won't have a clear mind unless we love. And we won't love if our hearts are filled with fear. You know, it just doesn't work that way. And therefore, it means having simple, basic control over our emotions, our fears, our animosities are. Oh, okay, that's easy. That's not easy at all. So you see, the depth of a life of prayer to which we are being called, so that the Holy Spirit has a free rein in our heart. So rather than wait until you still love the guy who comes to take you to jail, you better start right now. So that Jesus Christ will be manifest and our enemies will become our brothers and sisters. And this is going to be very important. How bad is it going to get? How do I know? Maybe we'll be able to sort of navigate. Well, maybe we will. But then we have a whole other consideration. It says, love your enemies. That means we want eternal salvation for them. And we should be willing to go to some trouble so that they achieve eternal salvation. Pray for them. Preach to them. This Lent of whatever this is, 2009, I guess it is already, these instructions are not quite so abstract. What do we do? Do you see how we're being called to start practicing the gospel? It's got to be a thorough thing that takes over our whole life. That is what I mean, and I don't mean, it's what John Paul II said. Faith must become a culture. Must take over our life, our thoughts, our judgments, our values, our emotions, our activities. It's a culture. And that culture is founded on love. Is that easy? Oof. Here we are all good Christians right here in the chapel, and we have trouble loving one another. Do you see what we're called to? In a way, we're lucky. We just can't coast along on the force of a culture that supports us. Think back, I was thinking back, you know, when I was a little fella, you know, there was a Catholic culture. You were a Catholic, you know what I mean? And you had your ashes on your forehead every Ash Wednesday to tell the world you didn't eat meat, you didn't. There was this little, not profound, cultural things. See, what happened in the election, the culture of a land that has strayed far from God has absorbed the faith. And our Lord is so kind that He's calling us back to a real faith, to a real one. Well, it's not all going to start today. We got some time. You can go get breakfast, you know, it's not going to happen right away. But I think it's a question of being sensitive. The Holy Spirit, who is Almighty God, is at work in our spirit right now. We learn to yield to that and have the freedom, the peace, the love, you know, to know that we are still called to win the whole world for Jesus Christ, which is where anybody is going to find happiness forever, no place else. It's amazing, isn't it? How the Lord's mercy, how this Lent is preparing us, of course, to celebrate resurrection, which is where it's all going. As I like that first preface, you know, this is this joyful season of Lent, because we're getting ready to celebrate God's victory over death. And our victory with Him. We're His people. So we should pray for one another and stop fighting with each other so we can practice loving each other on a, you know, 0.02 level. So if it gets up to a 6 or an 8, you know, we're a little bit ready.